give and worship
Jesus.
The music don't even have to play
Jesus.
For me to give and worship
Jesus.
How I love him and oh yeah
Jesus.
How I love him oh yeah
Jesus.
When I think of his goodness and what he's done,
Jesus.
When I think of his goodness and what he's done, I can't get more, son. I gotta give him glory. The Lord. Come on, give him glory. Hallelujah. Come on, give him glory.
Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
I've done it all right, but it is simply because of your grace and your mercy. And Father, I thank you right now, and I pray, God, a special anointing, God, that you would touch my heart, God, that I might be able to minister to the hearts and to the minds of your people. We thank you, and we give you praise, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The 23rd number of Psalms is one that is very familiar to every believer. I believe parents are still encouraging their children to memorize the 23rd number of the book of Psalms. Parents, if you have not done that, you ought to do that because there's some nuggets, some golden nuggets in this passage that in times of trial and trouble, when you can't find a Bible, when you can't, amen, your battery is dead on your secular phone. Thank God for a word in your heart, amen, that will help you and keep you all the way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God bless you. You may be seated in his presence. Thank you, ushers. Amen. The Bible is filled with many comforting scriptures, but perhaps none is as comforting as this 23rd number of the book of Psalms. This psalm has been a favorite of God's people for over 3,000 years, and even though there are only 118 words in this psalm, they are powerful words of comfort and strength and hope. Before we get into the heart of this message, I want to share some background information regarding shepherds and sheep that will help you to better understand what the psalmist is trying to get us to see. See, because we live in a society where tending sheep is not a familiar occupation. As a matter of fact, I would dare to say that none of us know any shepherds personally, and we're even less familiar with what a shepherd's life is really like. A shepherd in David's day, as well as in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, they used very simple equipment. He would have a bag to carry his food in. He would have a rod to fight off wolves and mountain lions. He would have a staff with the crook in it to retrieve errant or injured sheep, and a well-used slingshot with some rocks. Shepherds didn't have much, but they had a big heart. Amen. The shepherd often tended the same flock of sheep for many years. He knew his sheep by name, each one by name. And the Bible reminds us that the sheep knew the sound of the shepherd's voice. Because the shepherd lived, he actually lived with the sheep. His job was 24/7. If we were to have met a shepherd in David's time, we would likely see a sleepless, weather-beaten man who looked older than he really was. He would be humble and gentle, and yet after fighting many wild animals and all of that, he was also rugged at the same time. So you need to understand that a shepherd, though gentle and humble, was not weak. But the thing that we would notice most about the shepherd would be his obvious love for the sheep. Constantly watching, always attentive, the sheep were always on the mind of the shepherd. But what about the sheep? Why do sheep even need a shepherd? I'm glad you asked, because in the animal kingdom, there are a lot of smart animals. Horses are said to be smart. I've even heard folks say that pigs are smart. Dogs are smart, but sheep, on the other hand, rank as one of the dumbest animals on earth. One of the dumb things that sheep do involves how they eat. They munch on grass hour after hour without ever looking up, focus only on finding the next clump of grass to chew on, and so many times, because their focus is only on eating the grass that is before them, they have a tendency to wander away from the rest of the flock without even realizing it. And you need to understand that because of this wandering tendency that sheep had, they would oftentimes find themselves in the presence of dangerous animals. Another problem related to their eating is that sheep are not digestively, anatomically suited to digest all of the food that they eat at one time. So in order for them to aid the digestive process, the sheep have to lay down. And the problem is that they don't have enough sense to lie down. The shepherd has to what? Make them lie down. Another dumb thing sheep do is they have a follow the leader mentality, which is good in many respects, amen, but because of their inherent follower nature, if the lead sheep heads over a cliff, the whole flock will follow him right over the cliff without so much as a pause. Also, sheep are totally helpless against predators. If a wolf gets in the sheep pen, the sheep, they are not going to fight back. They don't have enough sense to come together and fight the wolf, amen, collectively. As a matter of fact, they won't even spread out, amen. They will get in a huddle to make it easy for the wolf to come in and just eat them up one by one. In fact, do you know the only time sheep will scatter is when something bad happens to the shepherd? Oh, I'm in Bible country, Matthew 26 and 31. Remember Christ's prediction on the night he was arrested? He said that the shepherd would be struck and the sheep would scatter. One more thing about sheep. If a sheep falls into water without the shepherd's help, he's destined to drown. Well, one thing is they got all this wool on their body, and that wool, when it gets wet, weighs them down. They don't know how to swim, so without the aid of a shepherd, the sheep will drown. I'm trying to get somebody to understand this morning, if you don't get nothing else, you ought to thank God you've got a shepherd. And I'm not talking about the under-shepherd. I'm not talking about Pastor Garner. Thank God for your pastor, but you ought to thank God for the good shepherd. Is there anybody here who knows who the good shepherd is? Is there anybody here who's not so full of pride that you will not be willing to admit, yeah, Pastor, when you talk about being dumb, I'm dumb in a lot of ways. I made a lot of bad decisions. I made a lot of bad choices. Come on, where are my real church folk at? Amen. I did some stuff that I knew I shouldn't do, and I didn't do some stuff that I knew I should have done, but through it all, I had a shepherd that was looking out. I had a shepherd that had my back. I had a shepherd who was watching over me. But here's where we have to give the sheep a little credit, because we learned one thing about sheep, amen, because they knew they couldn't swim, they at least had enough sense to stay away from troubled water. Amen. If the water was troubled, if the water was a little too violent, amen, the sheep would stray away from that kind of water. And so sheep are entirely dependent animals who constantly need someone to love them. Have I gotten on your pew yet? They constantly need somebody to care for them. Have I found your pew yet? They constantly need somebody to watch over them. Did I find your address yet? They need somebody to lead them. They need somebody to protect them. They need somebody to provide for them. They need somebody to rescue them. And if there are any folk in the house who are not so built up in pride, you will admit, you will testify, I need a shepherd. Well, it's interesting to me that the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is what the Lord chose to symbolize his relationship with us. In fact, the shepherd-sheep relationship is mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. For you and me to be identified as sheep is certainly humbling, but even more humbling is the fact that Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, chose to identify himself as a lowly shepherd. Well, three things, and I'm going to be finished. Three things that we see in this text that our good shepherd provides for us, and we ought to be thankful today, because the first thing that David tells us in verses 1 through 3, he tells us that the Lord, my shepherd, provides for us. Oh my, bless his name, bless his name. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Nudge your neighbor and tell him he provides for me. Y'all know that humanity has always sought security. We love security. That's why we have retirement plans. That's why children stay under mama and daddy, because they want security. Amen. All through life, we strive for security in a number of ways. We guard our health. We save our money. Amen. We take out insurance policies because we long for security. But I've come by to tell you today that true security, lasting security, the greatest security of all can only be found in a personal relationship with the Lord. Come on, if he's your shepherd and you know he provides you with security, you ought to tell him thank you. David goes on to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? Well, first it means that the Lord, my shepherd, will provide all of my physical needs. Is there anybody here who's ever been sick? Amen. You've gone to doctors and doctors shook their head because they either didn't know what was wrong with you or they couldn't figure out how to fix what was wrong with you. But you had the knowledge of another physician. You had the knowledge of a greater shepherd, and you realized that all you had to do was call him up and tell him what you want. And didn't he make a way for you? Didn't he heal your body? Didn't he put clothes on your back? Didn't he put food on your table? He will supply your physical needs. But not only will he provide for your physical needs, David lets us know that he will provide for our spiritual needs. In verse 3, he says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd knows that his sheep will not lie down if they are not calm in their spirit. Is there anybody here other than me who's had trouble when you were stressed out, when you were perplexed, when folk were bothering you, when you were anxious about something? Come on, where are my folk who will admit that I couldn't sleep some nights? Amen. I took Z-Quil, I took all Benadryl, and parents, stop giving your children Benadryl to make them go to sleep. I took whatever it was that I could find to try to get some sleep, but I was troubled in my spirit and I was troubled in my soul. And the shepherd knows that his sheep will not lie down if they are not calm in their spirit. If they suspect that there are wolves nearby, they will not lie down. If flies or fleas are bothering them, they will not lie down. If there is disharmony in the flock, you know, a couple of the other sheep are butting heads, amen, the rest of the sheep will not lie down. So the shepherd has the task of calming the sheep and giving them a sense of peace in their spirit. I thank God that I serve a shepherd who knows how to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Come on, come on. I'm talking about the kind of peace, you know, your life is jacked up from the floor up. You know you got bills due. Your money is funny. Your change is strange. Your children are acting crazy. But somehow in the midst of all of that, you find yourself going to sleep. Somebody said, since he never sleeps, since he never slumbers, I may as well let him handle this problem and go to sleep. He's the Prince of Peace. Even in the midst of life's greatest difficulties, our shepherd provides us with peace. Our shepherd revives. He refreshes our spirit when we're weary and burdened down. Our shepherd has provided us with his holy word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Yes, the Lord, my shepherd, provides for me. He provides all my physical and my spiritual needs. You know, every now and then we get beside ourselves because we, you know, we're driving good and we're wearing nice stuff and we're living good. Every now and then the devil will tempt us into thinking that somehow we did all of that by ourselves. But when you know who your shepherd is, and when you know that without him you would be nothing, you don't mind giving him praise for providing for you. You don't mind, amen, letting folk know, you see this car I'm driving? God did it. You see this house I'm living in? God did it. Yeah, I got name brand, got my name all in there, but God did it. Give him praise for providing for you. But not only does he provide, the psalmist lets us know that secondly, he protects me. Verses 4 and 5, amen, amen. He protects me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Oh my, the valley of the shadow of death. You see, oftentimes when the shepherd moved his flock from one pasture land to another, he had to lead them through rocky crevices between mountains. These valleys were filled with danger. There was danger from wolves. There was danger from mountain lions hiding in the rocks. There was always the danger of rocks falling and killing the sheep or the shepherd. They were literally walking in the shadows of death until they emerged on the other side. But even in the midst of all of those dangers, the sheep remained calm as long as they knew the shepherd was with them in the valley and he would protect them. David mentions two instruments that you ought to make note of. He talks about a rod and he talks about a staff. The rod, the shepherd did not use the rod on the sheep. The rod was for the predators. If a wolf came near the sheep, the shepherd would raise the rod and holler to scare the wolf away. If the wolf got a hold of one of his sheep, the shepherd would beat the wolf to death with the rod. But then there was the staff. You see, the staff had a crook on the end of it. Amen. And the shepherd would use that staff to pull a sheep that had fallen into a bad place. He would use that staff to pull the sheep out of that place. The shepherd would use the staff to pry the rocks apart when he's fallen in rocks. If a sheep fell into a hole, the shepherd would use the crook of his staff to pull the sheep back to safety. Is there anybody who knows that life is full of valleys? Come on, where are my witnesses? Life is full of valleys. There are valleys of loneliness. There are valleys of depression. There are valleys of sickness. And yes, even the valley of death. But thanks be to God. I said, thanks be to God that even in the valley of the shadow of death, God's people can yet rejoice because we serve a shepherd who went to an old rugged cross. They drove nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And the Bible says he died. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. But just when death thought he had my shepherd, the Bible says early one Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. That's why even in the valley of the shadow of death, you ought to have a praise. I got a praise. You ought to have a praise. All of God's children ought to have a praise. He protects me from the valley of death. But not only that, he protects me from my enemies. You know, death seems real foreign. Death, amen, if you're young, if you're looking pretty good and feeling pretty good, death seems like it's a long ways away. But is there anybody here who's thankful that you've got a shepherd who not only defends you against death, but he defends you against your enemies? And let me tell you something. You may think you're most popular. You may think, amen, that everybody on your job likes you. But I've come by to tell you that if you are a Christian, that if you've made up in your mind that for Christ I'll live and for Christ I'll die, you may not know it, but you've got some enemies. You got some folk sitting back waiting on you to die, waiting on you to get sick. You got folk, amen, lying on you and talking about you. But do you know what I love about my shepherd? David says he won't get rid of them. David says he won't lock them in a closet somewhere. David says that God, your shepherd, will prepare a table for you and make them stand there and watch you eat. You ought to thank God that he protects you from the valley of the shadow of death, but he also protects you from your enemies. He provides. He protects. But then there's one more thing we ought to celebrate. This shepherd preserves. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, there are two areas where the Lord preserves us. Number one, he preserves us during our earthly life. No matter where the sheep went, whether it was the luscious green pastures or beside the still waters or even through the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd's goodness and mercy followed them. How does that relate to you and me? Well, that phrase, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, literally means the Lord's goodness and mercy will pursue us. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying even when I ain't feeling church, grace and mercy are pursuing me. Even when I got a little Luther playing on my radio, grace and mercy are pursuing me. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Even when I'm at Southern University football game, and I'm cheering my team on. I'm not singing Amazing Grace. I'm not singing Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. But is there anybody who can thank God that in those moments when you weren't really thinking about him, grace and mercy were thinking about you? And don't you sit there and act so cute and so holy, like you got a halo on your head, like you're always in the Spirit, like you're always full of the Holy Ghost. You ought to thank God that grace and mercy are pursuing you. Well, somebody's not getting with me, and maybe it's because you've forgotten what grace and mercy is. You see, grace is what God gives us that we don't deserve. Come on, come on, get your calculator out. Get your spiritual calculator out. Start tallying up some stuff that God has blessed you with that you really didn't deserve. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Grace is what he gives us that we don't deserve. Oh, but thank God for mercy, because mercy is when he withholds from us what we do deserve. Is there anybody here, if you aren't so mean and not so proud, you'll thank God for grace and for his mercy? Y'all, I just love this 23rd number of Psalm. I guess I got 10 or 15 sermons back there on this 23rd number of Psalms, and this is a new one. Amen. I know some of you are looking and said 23rd number of Psalms. He's written, no, I ain't preached it like this before. I come by this time to tell you that God provides for us. God protects us. You ought to give him praise in this place today. I thank God for the 23rd number of Psalms. You know, there are just some passages of Scripture that if you read it, amen, you'll discover that within that particular passage is a summation of the whole gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every now and then you can happen upon a passage of Scripture and you'll discover that within that passage is the fullness of everything God wants you to know and to believe. You know, John 3:16 is one of those passages that really encapsulates the fullness of God's word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I found out that Psalm 23 is another one of those passages that whatever I need God to do in my life, I can find it in the 23rd number of Psalms, because the Lord is my shepherd. That's talking about relationship. I shall not want. That's talking about supply. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's talking about rest. He leads me beside the still waters. That's talking about refreshment. He restores my soul. That's talking about healing. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow